And let's pray as we come to God's word. Father God, we ask this morning that you would penetrate our hearts by your double-edged sword of your word. We pray that we would be exposed to you and that you would be at work in us, dissecting and transforming. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're looking at the question or the statement of being a Christian restricts my style. And it's important to be on the same page about what style is before we can adequately see if being a Christian restricts your styles. So what is style? Well, I'm going to define style by examples of style. What you wear is a style. It's a dress style, your clothes and the image they portray. A lifestyle, the way you do life, the things that you put your time and your money into. It's also your interests, the hobbies that you have, the things you pursue. It's also about the image you're after. For ladies, this might be being the wonder mum who can do everything, or the gym junkie, or the super grandma. Or for blokes, it might be being a sports freak, or being Mr. Busy, or Mr. Successful. These are all styles that people are keen to pursue and, more importantly, portray to others. Now, style in itself is not a bad thing. It's about the way that we are wired by God. He gives us passions. He gives us likes and dislikes and interests and different personalities. And if we didn't have these personalities, the world would be very boring. These differences are to be celebrated. So, does being a Christian restrict your style? Or should it? Well, that's what we need to think about this morning. And I think a question we need to ask is your style being driven by earthly treasures and reward? Now, it's a question that requires honest reflection. Let me give you an example. You're a person who's particularly into clothes. You like clothes. You like shopping, you like putting outfits together, mixing and matching. All that's fine, of course. But when you do some honest reflecting, you realize that there's some ungodly things and ungodly reasons that drive your clothing style. Perhaps you're really into designer labels. You just love really expensive clothes and accessories. What's driving that style? Is it that you have posh friends and you just need to keep up with them to fit in? Or is it that you like others to look at you and think, wow, she's quite rich, he's quite rich, and you feel good about yourself as they give you that glance? Well, the passage in Matthew that we're looking at this morning says that we're not to store up earthly treasures that can be eaten by moths or stolen or wrecked by a washing machine, but rather we're to store up treasures that matter for eternity. Things that will help eternal matters. Now, it may be that you have a particular ministry to posh ladies. You see, Paul talked about becoming all things to all men so that he might win some for Christ. And maybe you found yourself friends with posh ladies and you know that they need to hear about Jesus and you have a real passion to share Jesus with them. And you're convinced that turning up in op shop clothes or even Target is not really going to cut it with them, and therefore keeping up some designer label clothing is actually going to be a help in reaching them. Well, then at that point, you're not really seeking to store up earthly treasures for yourself, because the real reason for having some designer label clothing is to win the rich for Christ. In the meantime, you're going to have to do some soul searching and be very honest with yourself. You can't fool God, after all. He knows your heart. And you'll need to ask yourself, am I really using my interest in designer clothes purely to stay in with these ladies for eternal purposes, to be able to share Jesus? Or is that just an excuse so that I can keep buying designer gear and fit in with the crowd and have their acceptance? Well, it does take some honesty, doesn't it? God knows our hearts. And you can ask him to help you know your heart too, as the psalmist did. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." God can help you to know your real motives if you ask him. So thinking about storing earthly treasures for ourselves, in the context of Matthew 6, Jesus is talking and gives some examples of some areas that might be earthly treasures. He's been rebuking those who give to the needy, making sure that everyone can see what they're doing. Here am I giving. And he says that they've received their reward in full from the praise of others who see them giving. And he encouraged them rather to do it in secret, so that it's not about receiving your reward from men, but rather about doing it just for God. And similarly, he says that about prayer. Don't pray on street corners so that everyone can think you're super spiritual and such a wonderful prayer, but rather do it in secret between you and God. For if you are all about making sure others can hear you pray, well, then you've received your reward in full as they look at you and think, wow. Instead, pray because you want to talk with God. This doesn't mean don't pray together corporately with others. It just means don't parade your prayer around for the praise of others. And thirdly, he says it about fasting. When you fast, do you put oil on your head for everyone to see that you're fasting? Really nice and obvious. Well, by doing this, you are wanting to receive your reward from men who think, wow, how godly are you? Instead, he says, keep it between you and God because you want to do it to focus onto him or whatever other your reasoning might be for fasting. You see, these examples in this context, they help us understand more about the earthly treasures that Jesus is talking about storing up on earth. It's doing things so that others might see you and give you their acceptance or their nod of approval. Yes, you're one of us. Now, they might be religious type things like giving, praying or fasting, but it equally applies to any earthly treasure or any earthly style. What's your reasoning for doing the things you do? Is it for earthly reward that others might see you and say, yes, you're stylish or you're sexy or you know a lot about sport or you're a wonder mum or you're so busy, you're so successful? What is it that drives your style? Well, here's one for the blokes. What is a style that a lot of blokes like to go for? It's the, I'm really into sport and I'm always on top of the scores so that I can talk the talk with the boys and not be left out style. As an article from the Seven Sport website in September last year, it says this. It's one of the last things you think of, but there's one thing 9 out of 10 men have admitted lying about. According to a UK survey, men have been telling porkies, which is Yorkshire talk for lies, of their love of football, and it's all in the name of being popular. The survey of 500 British men found that 2 out of 3 faked their fandom of soccer, the nation's biggest sport, to avoid being unpopular. In total, 9 out of 10 revealed they over-exaggerated their enthusiasm for sport. Other sports men faked their love for in the survey included 52% who secretly hate Formula One, while 46% said they weren't really big fans of cricket, despite England's domination over Australia in the Ashes series. Clearly old news. A spokesman from LHDcarsupermarket.com, who carried out the survey, said, "It was a surprise that so many men lied about liking football. It makes me wonder whether it really is the nation's favourite game. There must be a lot of men out there lying to look good with friends and enduring dull nights in order to be part of the group. With 9 in 10 male friends lying about the sports they like, this survey could change what men talk about in the pub." It's interesting, isn't it? 9 out of 10 blokes saying they love sport just to fit in with the lads. Is that a style? Absolutely. The style of fitting in by knowing lots of sport info and pretending to love watching it with the mates. Is it harmful to anyone? Yeah, I think it is a little. To yourself, because you're simply watching something just to kind of be in on the chatter. It could be harmful to your family because you feel this pressure to watch all the sport in order to be in on the know rather than hanging out with them. You're also not taking the time to actually enjoy what you love. Or perhaps you've even forgotten what you do love because there's been so much pressure, felt pressure, to watch sport so that you can fit in. You're receiving your reward by being one of the boys. when you could have been putting your time and your efforts and your enjoyment into something more helpful and perhaps more eternal. You see, styles often mean conformity. Reminds me of the scene from Monty Python's Life of Brian movie. It's a big crowd of people out there chatting, all chanting, "We're all individuals." And one little bloke pops up and goes, "I'm not." We like to think we're individuals, that we're unique. And yet in the process of doing that, we're often just all conformists. If you want to stand out, be the one who seeks after heavenly treasure that can't be stolen or wrecked or wear out. Use your time and resources for things that matter and do it for God's glory and not your own. I think the principle behind assessing our style is asking, are we living this way for earthly reward or acceptance by whichever group we might be in? Or are we focused upon the things that matter to God and seeking to put our efforts into things that will count for eternity and for His glory? See, Matthew 6, 20, verse 21 says this, doesn't it? "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." If you want your heart focused on God, then make sure your treasure lies with Him. Put your time and your effort and your money into things that are going to make a difference in people's eternity, things that will help lead others to Jesus. Well, reflecting on style, does your style need some tweaking? If you can get honest with yourself, you need to ask, is my style seeking the reward of those around me, or am I focused on God and my style comes later? Well, let's have a look at a couple of style areas that might need some tweaking. Clothing. The whole clothing thing is interesting. There's nothing wrong with liking clothes. Finding interesting clothes, putting together outfits that work, expressing yourself through dress, as you can see I have today. The issue with clothing, that was a joke, is not about conformity. It's not about conformity. In fact, often conformity is the big problem. God doesn't say that all Christians must wear the same clothes. We've got some friends who just have found themselves in kind of hippie scenes, and they love hippie kind of clothing and dreadlocks, and it's just what they like. And at one point, they were heading off to Bible college, and they thought that they'd better tone down their hippie clothing and cut off their dreadlocks because they should be a bit more conservative. Well, then they realized that their dress style was not ungodly. And in fact, they could use their style to reach those who travel across India on spiritual pilgrimages trying to find their inner self. And so they did just that. They set up a place where hippies travel to in India, and they share the gospel with them there. They have a little kind of community, and they come in and they go out, and during their time there, they get to share the gospel with them. Now, that is using your style for Christ. Being a Christian doesn't mean conformity. There's a freedom in being a Christian. But there also might be aspects of your style that do require some correction or tweaking. For instance, modesty is a big issue. We're surrounded by images of celebrity women wearing not nearly enough clothing. It's a tough world for our little girls to grow up in, seeing these images around the place and thinking that they need to be like them to be attractive. And so modesty becomes a big issue. And you have to ask yourself, is your sexy style helpful for those around you? I guess I'm particularly thinking of how girls dress and how that might be unhelpful for blokes. If your skirt is too short or your top is too revealing or whatever you're wearing is just too sexy, then you need to reassess what you wear, because your style may be unhelpful for blokes who are turned on very easily by visual stimuli. It would be uncaring of your Christian brothers to wear clothes that are going to make it hard for them to resist lustful thoughts. But also, you've got to ask yourself, why do you dress like that? Is it because you want people to look at you and think that you are sexy? Is that really a godly desire? Doesn't it actually reveal an insecurity in you? 1 Peter 3 says this, "Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. What matters to God? Well, true beauty to him comes from within. Is this passage saying don't braid your hair or wear gold jewelry? Well, no, it's not, because other translations actually leave out the word fine. And so it would be saying, if it's saying don't braid your hair or wear gold jewelry, it'd also be saying don't wear clothes. So it's clearly not that. Rather, it's actually saying seek to have beauty from within rather than being focused on outward beauty as the most important thing to you. Seek inner beauty, and that will show itself in modesty for the sake of others, because you find your acceptance and your importance in God, not others. Well, what about interests versus idols? It's easy for our interests to become our idols, isn't it? For them to take up all our thinking, our money, our conversations, what we pursue, and for them to take us away from church fairly frequently. And yet, interests themselves are not ungodly, unless you're interested in bank robbery or cyber hacking. All clear? Okay. In fact, our interests, as I said earlier, are God-given. He doesn't make us clones. He makes us individuals made in the image of God. He loves our diversity, but he's made us diverse to represent him in the different areas of this world. If we're all chess players, who would be a Christian amongst actors and rock stars? If he made us all disinterested in fashion, then who would be a witness in the fashion industry? But yet we've got to ask ourselves, is my interest my idol? Is it my interest in order to be accepted into a particular club or group of people? Or on the flip side, do I have this interest just because I like it? And yet I'm very conscious of not letting it dominate my life, and I'm seeking to use that interest for God's glory and not my own. It's very human nature to want to belong to something. We love to belong to a group of friends or a club with a particular interest, or all sorts of groups that are out there in society, and people keep forming them because they love to have a belonging. And yet I think the temptation as Christians is to seek acceptance into something, some other club, and find our acceptance in some other club other than the family of God and his purposes. There's nothing wrong with being part of a club or a group, but is that where you are seeking your identity? Is that lifestyle going to take you away from God's purposes or his people with whom you need to meet regularly for encouragement and feeding from his word? Can you keep it in check and say, no, I can't make it to this or to that or whatever the club or the group requires because it's not my top priority? Have interests become my idols, or am I using them for God's glory and able to keep them in check and prioritize well? Remember what it said, verse 21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Well, the final thing I want us to think about this morning is that being a Christian will transform your style. You see, the statement that being a Christian restricts my style is true to a degree. It is going to affect what you do, how you dress, what's important to you, what you spend your time and money on, what drives you. But the interesting thing is that if you're not a Christian and you're here this morning, you might hear these things and think, man, Christianity is way too restrictive. I like my life as it is. I don't want to become a Christian. But when you become a Christian, something pretty amazing happens. And that is that God's Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. He doesn't just come for a holiday. He actually comes to live inside of you to transform you. You see, Psalm 37:4 says this, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now you might think, oh, well, that's great. If I become a Christian, I get all that I want. Well, in a sense, that's true. But let's pull it apart first. What does the psalm say? Delight yourself in the Lord. Take delight in him. Enjoy God. Enjoy all that comes with being a child of his. his love, his care, the friendship of others in God's family, singing praises to him, forgiveness in Jesus, your eternal security. As you delight yourself in the Lord, you are transformed. The things that used to matter to you matter a whole lot less. What others think of you and being accepted by certain groups becomes far less important because you are accepted and loved by the God of all creation, the one in charge of this world who loves you enormously and has shown you more grace and more acceptance than you anyone or any group ever will. Are you still so hungry for acceptance by others? Are you still so insecure in who you are? Well, as you reflect on who you are in God and delight in him, then the answer is probably not. Are you therefore still seeking the same things? Do you still have the same goals for life? Probably not. Have you begun to be transformed in your thinking and what matters for this world? Absolutely. Are you starting to develop God's heart for people to come into relationship with him? Hopefully. And is that changing your desires and hopes and bringing them into line with more of what God wants? Well, most likely. And therefore, is he likely to fulfill his promise of giving you the desires of your heart? Well, he sure is. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. As you delight in him, your desires will change, and he will give you the desires of your changing heart. You see, Matthew 6 echoes similar ideas in Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. When you're focused upon God's kingdom, that is him and his people and those who don't yet know him, and you're seeking first as top priority to become more like Jesus, growing in righteousness, being rebuked for ungodly behavior and attitudes, and wanting to conform your life to God's will, when you're seeking these things first, all these other things will be given to you as well. What other things? Well, the context tells us, Matthew 6:25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Don't worry about the things of this life. Food, drink, clothes, styles, interests, hobbies, image. Don't let them consume you. Don't make them number one. Don't be living for the acceptance of others for earthly reward. Instead, seek God first. Delight yourself in him. Be concerned about his kingdom and about righteous living. And then as you do this, your desires will be transformed. Your heart will be aligned with the things that matter to God. And he will provide these other things. You won't feel like you're being restricted anymore because the desires of your heart have changed. And instead, you will feel like there is an abundance of your desires because you will be desiring the things of God, which he loves to give in abundance. So, does being a Christian restrict my style? It'll change your life. Your style will change. And your priorities will change. Yes, you'll be restricted because that is about having your life transformed to live a more godly life. But your desires will change along the way too. And so you'll actually desire these restrictions because you know that they will lead to righteousness with God as number one. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Amen.